We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
Well, today we come to the conclusion of our annual excursion into contemporary culture through contemporary music. We call it Finding God on your iPod, where we explore contemporary culture through contemporary song and then seek to speak to the culture through the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is now the third year that we've done it. It's wildly popular. People like it a lot. And let's just review. We actually started on the last day of July, Sunday, July 31st, with Arcade Fire and their song, We Used to Wait, from the album, The Suburbs. The whole album is a prophetic critique of contemporary culture that's absolutely brilliant. Following that, we had Mumford & Sons, Roll Away Your Stone. And it was really something to do with the prodigal son parable. It's not the long walk home that will change this heart, but the welcome I receive at the restart. And then we had two back-to-back sermons on the subject of death. And I appreciate that a lot of people communicated how it ministered to them, comforted them, helped them. And the two songs were the Black Keys doing Unknown Brother and the band Perry, their song If I Die Young. Well, today, the final artist for the final Sunday of Finding God on Your iPod 2011 is Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Come on now. Let's see, we have not yet had a tip of the hat for the classic rockers. You know, we've had the freak folk people and the indie people and all the kids. Come on, we're going to have some 60-year-old rockers today. Can I get a witness? Uh-huh. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Okay, a little bit about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Well, they're from Gainesville, Florida. The band that's known as Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers officially formed in 1976, but three of the members of the band, Tom Petty, the guitarist Mike Campbell, and one other guy, I forgot his name, have been playing together since 1970. In other words, they've been playing together for 41 years, playing together since they were 19 years old. I don't know, that just kind of blesses me. I mean, some Christians can't stay together 41 years. And here this band has stayed together 41 years, and they've, you know, they've done it all. I mean, they've sold 60 million albums, they've won Grammys, they've been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few years ago. They did the Super Bowl, and I think surprised people at it, just, you know, really how good they are. Well, back in June of 2010, they released their 16th studio album entitled Mojo. Great album. I really like that one. I've listened to that one a whole lot. I didn't need Caleb to help me find this one. I got that one the day it came out because, you know, I'm a classic rocker at my roots. And so I got that album and the song. And the interesting thing about that album is, you know, they have nothing to prove. I mean, they've done it all. They're, you know, they can fill arenas. They've just done it all. And so they said, well, we want to make an album that's just the kind of music we like. And we don't care if anybody else really likes it or not. And they said, we didn't even want to go into the studio. So they just brought some gear into their practice room. And they just sat around. And it was kind of a live recording. I mean, there wasn't an audience. It was in their rehearsal room. But no overdubs, no fancy recording techniques. Just set up the gear, play their songs, record it, and see if people like it. And it went to number 2 on the charts. Great album. And I like it a lot. And the song, though, that I have chosen from that album is one of the quieter songs. And it's entitled, Something Good is Coming. So that's going to be the song and that's going to be the sermon. Something Good is Coming. Now, musically, I'm going to say something about the music. It's a very simple song. E minor, C, D, G. That's the song. E minor, C, D, G. That's it. 4 chords. Very repetitious. Very simple. And yet, very nicely done. I'm going to show you the video. They just brought in some cameras, showed them there in their rehearsal room that they used for their studio. And it's just, you know, a bunch of 60-year-old men that have nothing to prove. They know they're good musicians and they're having a good time. And they record this song and you're going to like it. You might notice the guitar player. He's the guy with the long black hair playing the slide guitar on the Gibson Les Paul. His name is Mike Campbell. He's one of my favorite guitar players. I'm just something about music. He's the guy that there's never a wasted note. Not necessarily, you know, the flashiest or anything like that, but just plays the right notes. That's going to be the song. You're going to like the sermon, but let's first check out the video. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers doing Something Good is Coming. Give us a smile, Tom. There you go. It's a nice song. Simple song, but well done. There's something good coming up over the hill. Something good coming. I know it will. I know that look upon your face. There's something lucky about this place. There's something good coming for you and for me. Something good coming. There has to be. It's very human song that captures the idea of hope even in the midst of hard times. So that I say this, something good's coming for you and me. Something good coming. It has to be. Is there something inside of you that goes, uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, there has to be. There has to be something good coming. That's because we believe that life, in its essence, is good. Despite the fact that trouble comes and trouble is present and trouble is real, no matter how frequent, no matter how at times, how horrible, somehow we still believe that something good is coming because trouble, no matter how frequent or horrible, is in fact an anomaly. That life is created to be good. And so I looked upon the face of a granddaughter last night, just about midnight. And I thought, welcome to God's good world. There'll be trouble. There'll be hard times. But it's good. I know that look upon your face. There's something lucky about this place. There's something good coming for you and me. Something good coming. There has to be. Anybody resonate with that? Does that speak to anybody? When I say something good's coming, there has to be. It's something, and you go, yes. Why do we believe that? Not just because it's a nice song. We believe that because it corresponds with what is told us from Scripture about this God that we worship and build our life around. That in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he's working the first day and he says it's good. And the second day he said it's good. The third day he said it's good twice. And then fourth day, fifth day, sixth day he says it's good. And at the very end he said, it's very good. So that even though we have trouble and we have hard times, we believe that somehow that is an anomaly and that is not how life is ultimately meant to be. And what we really believe is that God is going to be true to His declaration and God is going to intervene and break into our lives, and where it's wrong, He's going to make it right so we can say something good is coming. Now, when God breaks through and intervenes in the world to set what is wrong right, we call that the kingdom of God. It's the reign and rule of God. It's the government and policy of God. It's the intervention of God. It's God coming among us to make things good again because that's what He intends. And God accomplishes this chiefly and primarily, first of all, as we are reading in the book of Colossians during our scripture reading, through Christ. The firstborn of all creation. The center of the cosmos, creation and salvation. So that when Jesus comes and begins to announce His work, Mark records it like this. Jesus says, or it reads, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Rethink your life and believe the good news. You see, when the human heart is aching for something better, maybe there are some of you here today, maybe you'd kind of wave at me, that things aren't quite right and you're not where you want to be and not everything is quite good. And so there's an aching that something good could maybe come. Up over the hill, I know it will. Something good would come for you and me. There has to be. When you have that hope, that's what that is. That's hope rising up, saying things don't seem right, but something good's coming. When you have that hope, Jesus responds and says to you, yes, that's right. And so I want to say to everyone here, I'd like to look at everybody, and I want to say to everybody here, I want you to hear this, something good is coming. I don't know if you heard me. Something good is coming. It's an announcement. Something good is coming. If you think that's for you, it is. Anybody here think that's for you? Something good is coming. That's for you. If you think that's for you, it is. If you don't think that's for you, it's not. But if you think it's not for you, I want to say something to you. Something good is coming. Follow this. Something good is coming. If you think that's for you, it is. If you don't think that's for you, it's not. But if you don't think it's for you, I want to tell you something, because you need to know this. Something good is coming. Rethink your life and believe this good news that something good is coming for you. Anybody here think it's for you? When I say to you, something good is coming, how many, yes, that's me. Because if you think it's for you, it is. If you don't think it's for you, it's not. But if you don't think it's for you, then I'm going to tell you, something good's coming to you. Now believe that. Of course, some might be more stubborn and they might be more, I don't know, you might be more skeptical or even cynical. And you might press me a little bit like a good empiricist. And you might say, well, why would something good be coming to me? And my answer is, I don't know, I guess you're just lucky. You're just lucky. That is in fact my theological response to that question. I'm doing more good theology than you know at the moment. When I say to you, something good is coming, and you say, well, why would something good come to me? And I say to you, I don't know, just lucky, I guess. That's more theological than you think it is. Lucky, in fact, is a perfectly good theological word. See, I get that from that song. I like that line where he says, there's something lucky about this place. I know that look upon your face. There's something lucky about this place. I'm telling you, lucky is a perfectly good theological word. I know I'm pushing buttons right now. Because you've been sort of just taught and fed and scripted and thought, oh, that's a terrible word. You can't use that word. Certainly not in the pulpit, Pastor Brian. Talking about lucky. Eugene Peterson, pastor, scholar, theologian, especially gifted in the translation of biblical language into contemporary English, most known, Eugene Peterson is, as the translator of the Message Bible, he told me that he wanted to translate the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. He wanted to translate that word lucky. He said it captures what Jesus is saying. It is completely fair to the word. It captures probably for the modern mind better than anything else what Jesus is saying. Hey, all you that are poor and being spiritual, woo-hoo, lucky for you. The kingdom of heaven is for people just like you. Lucky are you who mourn, you're going to be comforted. Lucky are you who are meek, you're going to inherit the earth. That's what Eugene Peterson wanted to translate that. His publisher wouldn't let him because the publisher said, well, people will get upset. Eugene Peterson said, well, let them get upset. That's what Jesus said. But, you know, it's the publisher and he wasn't going to win that battle. Now, if you're still inclined to say, I don't know, I don't think you could say that. Just remember, Eugene Peterson is the scholar of biblical languages, not you. And he's the one that says, no, it's completely legitimate to translate that word lucky. Well, let's define lucky like this. The mysterious experience of an unexplained grace. The mysterious. So when I say to you, something good is coming. And you say, well, why would something good come to me? And I say, just lucky, I guess. I'm also saying, I don't know. It's just the mysterious experience of an unexplained grace. Luke chapter 6. Gospel of Luke chapter 6. This is Luke's account, his abbreviated account of the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Luke 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Again, our scholar Eugene Peterson says it'll help the modern mind to get at the radical nature of what Jesus is saying. Because blessed sounds very spiritual, very religious, something very stained glass and cloistered. Eugene Peterson says it'll help us understand the radical nature of what Jesus is saying if you hear it like this. Lucky are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Lucky are you who are hungry now, you shall be satisfied. Lucky are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. I know that look upon that, your face, there's something lucky about this place. There's something good coming for you and me. Something good coming, there has to be. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, why should that be though? I mean, why should the hungry all of a sudden be happy because something good's coming? Why should the sad be happy because something good's coming? Why should they? I mean, if you're sad and you're hungry and you're poor, you think, man, I'm just not very lucky. And yet Jesus says, no, you are, because something good is coming. Well, why? Well, because you're just lucky enough to hear Jesus make his announcement, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Jesus says something good is coming. If you think that's for you, that's also called faith, and it is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And Christ speaks, and he says to you, you that are poor, you that are discontent, you that are dissatisfied, you that are mourning and sorrowful, you're lucky because something good is coming to you. Here's the problem, though. All Americans across the board are the descendants of the Puritans. Not everything about that is bad. Not everything about that is good. It's a mixed bag. And as, I mean, when I say everyone, I mean everyone. I don't just mean Christians. I mean the atheists in America are puritanical atheists. I mean, that's our roots. And as those that receive a Puritan tradition, we want to live in a rigid world, a legal world, where everyone gets their just desserts. Where everything is, here's the word we use, fair. That is very deeply woven into the American psyche. We want things to be fair. We want everybody, you know, everybody gets what they deserve. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's especially American. But it also just shows how lost we can be in our own Pharisaical self-righteousness, because what we need to do is not get lost in the world of legal, rigid, where everybody gets their just desserts, as we say. We need to be introduced to the world of God's undeserved, unexplained grace, where lucky is as good a word as any to explain how this thing works. There's even theological merit in the old axiom, it's better to be lucky than good. How many of you ever heard that saying? And I thought everybody knew that saying, but it turns out, I asked Perry last night, did you know that? She's never heard that. And then it dawned on me, it's where I learned, picked up that phrase, is playing basketball. And just, you know, you're like playing basketball, just a little pickup game, maybe a little one-on-one or a little, you know, three-on-three. And you just throw up some ball that it has, I mean, it's a terrible shot, and yet somehow it goes in. Now, if you're proud, you try to act like you're that good. That you just, like, you know, throw the ball up and didn't even look at the rim and it went in. And if you're proud, you try to act like you're that good. If you're humble, you make your confession like this. Well, it's better to be lucky than good. Okay, if it helps you, it's better to be blessed than good. But blessed has some problems with it. Because we still carry in that puritanical thinking. And we think God blesses those that deserve to be blessed. That's how it works. God blesses the good and curses the bad. That's how we think. And it's completely wrong. If what you want is for Jesus to be fair, according to your idea of fair, you're going to have the hardest time yet along with Jesus. He says that, you know what the kingdom of God is like? He says like this. It's like this guy started hiring people. And he hired some at 8 in the morning. He hired some at 10 in the morning. He hired some at noon. He hired one group of people at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they worked 1 hour. And when the day was over, he paid everybody a full day's wage. And the people that had worked all day long, they'd worked 8, 9 hours, they said, well, that's not fair. And Jesus says, what? You did a full day's work, I gave you a full day's wage. Yeah, but they only worked 1 hour. Okay, they're just lucky, I guess. It's my money, I can do with it what I want. If I want to be good to people and not be fair, but just give them the mystery of an unexplained grace, that's my business. See, some of you are going to have to adjust how you think about Jesus. So perhaps you are in your poverty right now, or your discomfort, or your sorrow because life hasn't turned out the way you would like. Things have happened you didn't want to have happen, or things haven't happened that you did want to happen. And so you find yourself in a place where you're poor and you're hungry and you're sorrowful and you feel terribly unlucky. And yet here I am telling you, in the name of Jesus, something good is coming. You're going to find what you're looking for. You're going to be satisfied. You're going to laugh. You don't have to deserve it. Just believe it, because you're lucky enough to be here. I know you'd rather say, I'm blessed. I get that. That's fine. And you probably should. You probably should. But here's the problem with that. If I say, are you blessed? Yes, I'm blessed. And I say, why are you blessed? Too often you'll begin to then explain to me why you are blessed. And before long, you're on this dangerous road of telling me why you deserve to be blessed. That's why I think as a corrective, it's good to work in this word lucky. When you say, man, my life is blessed. And you say, well, I don't know. I'm just lucky. Thank God. And then you attribute it to God's mysterious, unexplained grace, and you do not begin to try to trace it back and say, I'm blessed because this and this and this have happened. Now, I understand there is a trajectory of life that brings goodness, and we should teach that, and we should understand that, but we should also understand the emphasis of Jesus was not that. That truth is in there, but Jesus is very radical, and he comes along and says, you people that are sinners, and you're terrible at being spiritual, and you never go to church. Whew, are you lucky? Because this kingdom is for you too. And we're going like, whoa, that's not fair. And we don our Pharisaical robes, and we're off to a bad start with Jesus. Lucky. The mystery of an unexplained grace. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm lucky as long as you follow it up with praise God. Yeah, I like that. It's my favorite line in that song. There's something lucky about this place. What place? The place where the kingdom of God is being proclaimed and being announced. Why? Because the kingdom of God is salvation. What Jesus tends to call the kingdom of God, Paul tends to call salvation. What Paul tends to call salvation, Jesus tends to call the kingdom of God. But they're talking about the same thing. Jesus only uses the word, the noun, soteria, salvation, twice. Paul uses it 30 times. Paul only talks about the kingdom 2 or 3 times. Jesus talks about the kingdom over 100 times. But they're not talking about 2 different things. They're talking about the same thing. What we have done is we have shrunk salvation. We have reduced it. We have minimalized it to the forgiveness of sins and being right with God. That's included, but that's just simply what you get when you arrive. That's not the end, that's the beginning. You come into this reorganizing of the world through what God is doing in Christ that is the kingdom of God. And the first thing you get as a door prize when you get in is the pardon of all your sins. But that's not the end, that's the beginning. Whew. And why would it come to you? Because you're just lucky enough to be here and to hear it. Jesus forgives, Jesus pardons, Jesus brings good things. Jesus says to the poor and the depressed and the meek, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to make good things come into your life. And you're just lucky enough to hear this good news. And if you think it's for you, it is. If you think it's not for you, it's not. But if you don't think it's for you, I have to tell you something. Something good is coming in Jesus' name. I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you right in the Bible. Turn to Luke chapter 13. We're about done. I got to get done. I have to catch a plane. So if I don't hang around and chat with you afterwards, you'll understand that I got to run out of the building here in a moment. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called out and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. All right, Jesus comes to church on Sunday. It's synagogue on Sabbath, but we would hear it like church on Sunday. Comes to church on Sunday. And here is a woman who has a disabling spirit. She's been over, been like that for 18 years, confined to that stooped nature, bent over, can't stand up. And Jesus simply walks up to her and says, "Woman, you're loosed from your disability." Bang, she's healed. Now, let me ask you something. What did that woman do to get her healing? Did she cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," like blind Bartimaeus? Did she do that? No. Did she push her way through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment like that one woman did? No. Did somebody lower her down through the roof like they did for that one guy? Did she come to Jesus and beg him? Did she say, I know I have faith, so only speak the word and I shall be"? Did she do any of that? What did she do? The only thing she can claim is she was there. Thank you. She got lucky. She was there. She was just that. What does it say? Look at verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman. Only thing she did was she was present. She showed up. She was there. There's something lucky about this place. You understand, that could be her testimony, and it'd be just fine as long as she does what she does at the end and gives glory to God. There's something lucky about this place. And see, the problem is sometimes we resist luck because we're afraid we'll be unlucky. But I'm telling you, no, you're lucky. You're here. You're here, and you're hearing the good news announced to you that something good is coming. All right, one more. Look at this. Later on in the chapter, verse 18. Luke 13, verse 18. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? So what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." Okay. First of all, Jesus is always talking about the kingdom of God. It's the only thing he talks about. Imagine Jesus being interviewed. But it's interesting. Jesus never comes out in a very dialectical, formal, scientific way. He never says the kingdom of God is this. You know, we say things like it is God's reordering of human society around the person of Jesus Christ, or whatever. Jesus never does that. All he ever talks about is the kingdom of God, but he never defines it. He only describes it in parable and analogy and metaphor. Imagine Jesus being interviewed, like he's on Larry King, or now it's Piers Morgan. And the interviewer says, "Well, Jesus of Nazareth, you're always talking about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God?" And Jesus says, "Well, it's like a guy goes out and sows seed." "Yeah, okay, but what is it?" "Well, it's like a woman baking bread, you know." "Yeah, but what is it?" "Well, it's like, what is the kingdom of God like?" "It's like a man has two sons and Jesus never comes out and says what it is. He just describes it in story, in parable, in analogy, in metaphor, and leaves room for the Holy Spirit to spark your imagination and hopes that you'll get it. And one time he says it like this. He said, "It's like a man that just sowed a little seed, the tiniest of seed, just sowed a little seed in his garden, but it grew up and became a big tree. And then the birds came and built their nests in its branches." Good for the birds. Now, what did those birds do to deserve such a nice tree to build their nests in? What did they do? What did they do to earn this tree where they could nest, rest, and be blessed? What did they do? They didn't do anything. They were just there. They're just lucky birds. Just lucky birds that in their neighborhood there grew up this tree that they could build their nest in. And so I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is the thing that God is doing that is good, and something good is coming. Something good is coming to you. Something good is coming just over the hill. Something good coming. I know it will. Something good coming for you and me. Something good coming. There has to be. And I'm telling you, something good is coming. If you think that's for you, it is. Why? I don't know. You're just lucky, I guess. Now, how many of you here believe that word is for you today? And you didn't do anything to deserve it. You're just here. And as you're here, you hear the word of Christ. And now faith comes, and suddenly you believe that something good is coming. And guess what? It is. Amen? Stand up with me. Oh, our obsession with earning it and deserving it and being fair. And we either flatter ourselves that we deserve it and then we get into pride and God resists the proud, or we think we don't deserve it and we despair and we think, how could anything ever good come to me? It's this terrible trap. Better to say, I'm just lucky to be the creature of a God that is so good. I'm just lucky to be alive at a time when the kingdom of God is being announced. I'm just lucky to be there when it was announced that the kingdom of God has come among you, and I believed it, and there's something good coming. Amen? Yeah. Father God, we believe the word. We believe the announcement. We believe the prophetic declaration that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, that the kingdom of God is among us, that it is breaking through, that it is here, and we dare to say something good is coming. For you and me, something good is coming. There has to be. We say yes and amen to it. Father, I ask that you would now communicate by the Holy Spirit to every person here the truth of that prophetic word, that something good is coming. They would be lifted up, carried in hope until the manifestation of that good thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now come on and really praise the Lord.